Boys and girls, when you become a doctor, then you go into training. And part of your training and preparation for becoming a doctor is that you go along with a doctor on his visits to his patients. You work with him. You're next to him. You're beside him. And that doctor models for you the work of a doctor. It's helpful, of course, to have such models, such mentors. And now in the work of the ministry, that is what Paul has been to Timothy. And Timothy was a model too, to others. After all, Paul calls Timothy in his first letter to him in chapter 4, verse 12, "Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And when we listen to what Paul writes of Timothy in these verses that are open before us this morning, then the Holy Spirit, by the pen of Paul, gives us a model for office bearers. Timothy's office bearing. That's what you can write over this sermon. Timothy's office bearing. We'll see three things. It's a model of love, first of all, of love for the Lord's people. Secondly, for the Lord's Christ. And thirdly, for the Lord's gospel. Timothy's office bearing, a model of love, first for the Lord's people. Secondly, for the Lord's Christ. And thirdly, for the Lord's gospel. This morning, we meet Paul under house arrest in Rome, writing a letter to the Philippians. Yes, a lot has happened since he was converted. He began preaching the gospel, but tribulations and troubles awaited him. And it was in Jerusalem when he entered the temple that those who opposed Paul, before long, accusations began to fly against him, and he was beaten and he was arrested. And from Jerusalem, he was taken to Caesarea as a prisoner. He didn't stay in Caesarea either, for he appealed to Caesar in Rome. And it's while he has been in Rome that we meet him this morning. He's awaiting his verdict. Now, in news that Paul has lost his freedom has also reached the Philippian church. And they've become so concerned for him. They're wondering, will their beloved pastor Paul be executed soon? So soon already? Yes, so concerned have they become, for though their church needs the Lord above all, the Apostle Paul has come to mean a lot for them. And there is still so much work to be done also in the congregation of Philippi, that they send a messenger to Paul to know his well-being and to know the final verdict in his case. You see, there is a close connection and a close bond between Paul and the Philippians. And the Philippian church is his beloved congregation. There is mutual love between them. It's a blessing, isn't it? When there is love in the congregation. Rather than, as Paul is also known in other churches, like in the church of Corinth, where Paul met with much suspicion, where Paul met with many people who had a critical bent toward Paul. But no, that's not how it was in the Philippian congregation, and how that must have gladdened Paul that there was this congregation in Philippi that was filled with love and concern for him. And Paul has a love for them and a concern for them that he makes plans to send Timothy to them. For he wants to know how things are with them, and he anticipates that the news that he will hear from Timothy about the congregation in Philippi will be good news, as he says in verse 19, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. But he also knows that they will want to know from Timothy how things are with Paul, and he anticipates those kind of questions that they will ask Pastor Timothy. Now, how are things with Paul? Will he be executed so soon, or will he be set free? And Timothy should be able to answer also those questions, and so he wants to wait till the final verdict. As he says in verse 23, "Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." But Paul is also hopeful, as he says in verse 24, to make a visit to the Philippian congregation himself. That Paul is making plans, you can say. You know what that is, to make plans. Maybe you've made some plans already for this summer. Plans to go here, or plans to go there, plans to do this, or plans to do that. But then let us do it in the same way as Paul does. He does it more often in, for instance, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 19, where he writes, "But if I come to you shortly, I will come to you shortly, rather, if the Lord will." As James has taught us too in James 4, verse 15, "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." And then Paul's hope is not in Nero, the Caesar to whom he has appealed. His future does not depend on the emperor there in Rome. Even though he is indeed a powerful emperor, he hopes in the Lord, as he says two times. Verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you." And verse 24 again, "And I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." Yeah, that's better, isn't it? That, as the psalmist says, "Trust not in man who soon must die, but on the living God rely." And so Paul is willing to part with Timothy and to have Timothy go to the Philippian congregation. But why Timothy? Well, first of all, I said, because of his love for the Lord's people. Of his love for the Lord's people. Verse 20. "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." So Timothy has a true care for the congregation of Philippi. He has a true care for the people, for their needs. A true care. What's that like? And maybe Paul remembers from his own experience when he was in Philippi, when he saw that very care before his eyes, and he felt it. Remember that time when he came the first time to Philippi, and when as a result of the gospel and the work of the gospel, he was imprisoned with Silas, and the jailer had imprisoned them, and the jailer was not so kind to them, and then that earthquake which shook the foundations of the prison too. And then the jailer came and his eyes were opened and he became concerned for his soul. And he knew that there were two men to whom he could ask that question. Only two men. "What must I do to be saved?" And he received an answer from Paul and Silas, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And the Lord also gave him grace to believe. And now what was the proof of that change of heart in the Philippian jailer? Well, there were several things. But one thing was evidence that he had experienced the new birth, was because he now had a love for Paul and Silas. And he begins to take care of their wounds. And he sought to alleviate their pain, and he gave them food to eat. Before he was converted, he did not care for them. Before he had treated them rudely and roughly. But now there is this tenderness in his heart, and now he pities these suffering men, Paul and Silas, and he cares for them. And that is what Timothy had for these people in Philippi. He had a love and a care for their souls. And then a love for their whole person. Yeah? Timothy had a genuine care. Paul puts it in this way. "Who will naturally care for your state." And when Paul uses that word naturally, he uses a term used in science, used by doctors. He uses a word that has to do with genetics. with genes. And you know how that is when a person gets a disease. Sometimes the doctor says, that was in your genes already. And your parents had it, and now you have it. Or if you don't have those kind of health problems and your parents didn't, then they say, well, you had good genes. And now that's what Paul says. This care that Timothy has, it's not because he knows how to put on a show, and it's not because he's a good actor and he's a hypocrite, and that he makes it seem as if he's caring and kind. No, he is. He has this gene in his heart. It's natural. It's instinctive for him. It's supernatural, you understand, because it's something that grace gives. God gave it to Timothy by grace. Yeah, that's what happened in the Philippian jailer. That this jailer who had been hardened and who had been callous and who had been cruel now is kind and now is tender to these servants of the Lord. Just like Paul. After all, he says that Timothy is like-minded to him. He who had once persecuted the church. He who had been breathing out threats and cruelty against the people of God. That he has come to a change. He's been converted. And he has a love now for them. Why? Because he, boys and girls, you understand when I say it. Paul received a new heart. And the Philippian jailer received a new heart. And Timothy too. He has a new nature. With new genes. Spiritual genes. And that's what marks him now. He is a man who cares for the Lord's people. You see, the ministry was not just a job for him. It was not just that it made him a professional. And then that he gave the appearance of caring. No, he naturally cares for you. And Paul says there is no one else who has the same love as Timothy. Paul. No one else? Well, maybe there are others like Luke and Tychicus. People to whom Paul will refer to yet in his letter. But they were not with him in Rome at this time. But there are others who do not have that same love. Who do not have that same readiness to deny themselves. And who are not willing to run risks for the good of the Philippians. He tells us in verse 21, they seek their own. They're taken up with their own interests. No, Paul does not say that they're taken up with sinful things, that they're taken up with immoral things, that they're taken up with greed and with covetousness. It may be that they're taken up with legitimate things. But that's what marks them. They seek their own interests. And that's why those men are not qualified for this mission on which Timothy is sent. That must have been painful for Paul. To see people in the church, to see people even in places of leadership in the church, so taken up with themselves. Brethren, office bearers, let that not be said of us. And congregation, let that not be said of you. So taken up with themselves that they have no time for the Lord in His cause. Someone says, but Pastor, when I look around at the church today, I have to admit I'm often discouraged. That can be. And it can be that we think in the past things were much better. But was it really that much better in the past? Look at what Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians. All seek their own. Were they all filled with love for the Lord and His service? Were they all so willing to deny themselves for the good of others? People in the days of Paul were seeking their own things. We should not be surprised, should we? Especially if we know our own heart. Don't you have it, you who have come to fear the Lord, you who have come for whom the service of the Lord has come to mean something to you? Are you not surprised sometimes how much callousness there is in your heart? That you wonder, and now actually, what is the secret of having this love for the Lord's people? It's having a love for the Lord's Christ, our second point. For when Paul says about these self-centered people, yeah, that's what they are. They seek their own. When he says in verse 21 that they seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. In those few words, he's giving away the secret to Timothy's love, isn't he? Timothy does seek the things which are Jesus Christ. How did that happen? We don't know everything about that in the life of Timothy, but we can say it began when Timothy was younger. The Lord has done that more often. And he begins to work in the soul. He begins sometimes in the young soul. And Timothy had a mother, and Timothy had a grandmother who believed the Scriptures. How sad it was that his father did not seek after these things. And that his father and his mother had a divided marriage and a divided home. But he did have a mother for whom the Bible meant something. And he did have a grandmother. And they taught him the Scriptures. And they taught him about God. And they taught him about creation. And they taught him about the deep fall into sin. And they told him the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he heard the stories of the Old Testament. And he learned about Cain and Abel. And who was saved and who was not saved. And he knew that these things mattered in the lives of his mother and grandmother. And he saw in his mother and grandmother a godliness. And what impressions these things made on him when he was younger. And he knew they loved him. And they corrected him when he was naughty. But you see, they were teaching him the Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. And Timothy saw the books that his father was reading. And he saw the interest that his father had. And they were so different than his mother's. His father did not go out after the God of the Bible. And that's how the Lord came to Timothy. And the Lord converted him using the means. Of course, Scripture reading and storytelling of the Bible by itself cannot convert a sinner. That's true. His mother and his grandmother also knew that. Oh, they could do many things and they could tell the Scriptures to them, but they could not put it in his heart. But they know the Lord could. And don't you think they begged the Lord for that? And then the day came that this preacher came to Lystra, Paul. And they began to listen to him. And Eunice and Lois were gripped by what this preacher was saying about this Jesus of Nazareth. And how he was the promised Messiah. And he showed them from the Scriptures how he is indeed the promised one. And mother and grandmother could not push these things aside. And neither could Timothy set it aside. And so he was taken up now with the things of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't temporary either. It wasn't just a temporary impression. Oh, it continued. So that when Paul came back some years later, Timothy was so desirous to go with him. And he wanted to preach the same things of Christ as Paul did. And is that not what should mark the Christian office bearer? That he seeks the things of Jesus Christ. What things? What things was Timothy taken up with? It doesn't say, but it is plural, the things. Don't you think that it meant that he was taken up with the person of Christ? Who he is, the eternal Son of God who took on him flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary. And don't you think he was taken up, secondly, with the work of Christ? And he wanted to know the work of Christ more in his work as prophet and as priest and as king and his work as savior and his work as intercessor. And to mention a third thing, don't you think he was taken up with the kingdom of Christ? you know, some people are so taken up with the kingdoms of this world and of politics and of politicians and political parties that they can speak about that more than about the things of the Lord. But not Timothy. Oh, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ is what he sought. And that's why also the church of Christ meant so much to him. After all, he who loves Christ loves the church of Christ, the things of Christ. And then you hear the same thing in Paul, who will write in chapter 3, that I might know him. That I might know the Lord Jesus. That I might enjoy his communion. That I might see more of his person, and that I might see more of his love, and that I might see more of his benefits. And is that not what office bearers are to be taken up with? Only office bearers? Is this actually not a description of the true Christian? That I might know him? Is that what can be said of you and me? Has that change that Timothy experienced also happened in your life? Or are you still seeking your own things, your work, your home, your paycheck, your positions, your sports? Is that first? But what can all those things do for you when you become sick? And when you have to die? Why not leave off seeking those things? Leave off seeking your own things and begin seeking the things of the Lord Jesus. Don't you need forgiveness? Don't you need peace with God? How can you stand before God on that great day of judgment? The only way is to have the Lord Jesus as your advocate. But then you need to seek it in him. And you have a Bible that tells you, sinner, pick up and read. Pick up the Bible and read. The treasures of this earth, they fade. Only one treasure will last, the kingdom of Christ. And Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. That's how it was for Timothy. He had a love for the Lord's people. He had a love for the Lord's Christ. And thirdly, he had a love for the Lord's gospel. The Lord's gospel. Yeah, that's what Paul says in verse 22. Ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And the Philippians, they know this. They know that Paul is not just making these things up. And the Philippians know that this is indeed the case for Timothy. He seeks the good of Zion. They've seen Timothy at work. He was there when Paul came on that journey to Philippi. Then Timothy was also there. And maybe Timothy was there also several other times with the Apostle Paul. But the Philippians could tell that he was two things. For one thing, he was a son. And secondly, he was a servant. He was a son of his spiritual father, Paul. And the Philippians must have said that sometimes. As you say that, don't you, when you see a young boy next to his father? You say, ah, you can tell that's son and father. That must have been what the Philippians said of Timothy and Paul. How he looks like his spiritual father, Paul. He seeks our well-being just like Paul did. He's a true son. And secondly, a servant. He hath served with me in the gospel, Paul says. He's been a servant, a willing servant indeed, but a servant who serves his master, who has love for that gospel and who seeks the spread of the gospel. He's a servant, a slave. And sometimes when you think of a slave, then you think of someone with ball and chain so that the slave cannot escape. Now that's Timothy. Only the chain is not heavy for him. And it's not a ball he's chained to. He's chained to the gospel. It's a song that sometimes boys and girls learn. I hope our boys and girls come to know it. If they don't know it yet, that book, that song, Holy Bible Book, Divine Precious Treasure, Thou art mine. Mine to tell whence I came. Mine to teach me what I am. That was how it was for Timothy. A servant in the gospel. And is that not what should mark us, dear fellow office bearers? As the form says that we hope to read. That we diligently search the Word of God. And continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. After all, Timothy. Yet Timothy knew that the gospel had to be preached clearly. And the gospel must be preached faithfully. And there are many unsound teachings. They were there in Paul's day. They are there today. Timothy knew he needed to be rooted and grounded in the gospel. Is the gospel something you love? Is that how you will serve in the office? With that song that boys and girls may learn. Holy Bible Book, Divine Precious Treasure. Thou art mine. Or will the work in the office simply be about running a business? Church business. Not for Timothy. Timothy shows us the way as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a love for the gospel. Does that mean that Timothy could do anything? Does that mean that Timothy never grew weary? And that Timothy did not have to take heed to himself? That he never needed any rest? That he never suffered from weakness in his stamina? No, Timothy was a weak man. Timothy was a man who suffered from sickness that Paul had to write on one occasion, "Now, Timothy, drink a little wine for thine oft infirmities." Timothy was a man with limitations. He was a man with weaknesses. You and I are too. But you see, Timothy did not need to be the savior of the Philippians. That's not what he was to be. He was to point to the Savior for their needs of body and soul. And that's what Timothy was willing to do as much as he could, as best as he could, enabled by the Lord and by His Holy Spirit. That's the picture of Timothy. Nice picture, don't you think? A man who is trustworthy. A man who denies himself. He did that already when Paul said in Acts 16, "Timothy, I know you're not circumcised, Timothy, but you should be circumcised." And Timothy could have said, "But Paul, you teach that we don't need to be circumcised." And he begins to argue with Paul. No, it's true. Paul did not teach that he had to be circumcised to fulfill the law now in order to enjoy salvation. And Timothy could have said that. But Timothy doesn't say that. He says, "Paul, if we can reach the Gentiles and if we can reach the Jews with the gospel, I will be circumcised." And so he denies himself. Such a man is of great value, don't you think? Someone who denies himself. Someone who is consistent. Someone who is faithful. And that will not come by being double-minded. And that will not come by being easily shaken. And that will not come by being pulled in this direction one time and pulled in that direction another time. No, that will not be the outcome. And you see that for this we need grace from above. Grace that makes us honest. And grace that makes us stable. And grace that makes us consistent and trustworthy. Does anyone ever say that about you? Do you know him? He's a man who denies himself. He's a man who cares for others. He's a man who's faithful. He's dependable. Why, he's a sinner too. Yes, but I can see the work of grace in his soul. And you see, that's how Timothy became what he was. What made Timothy to be like this? Surely it's grace. Paul could say of Timothy, as he would write of himself, by the grace of God, Timothy is what he is. But the Lord made use of means in his life. The Lord made use of a mother and a grandmother. And he heard the truth of God from them, and he saw the life of godliness in them. And what a blessing that is to have such an upbringing that they say, I want to know what my mother knows. I want to know what my God-fearing father knows. They have something that I don't have. They have a joy and a peace and a godliness. I miss it. You can tell they know the Lord, and you can tell they know communion with the Lord. Do we not meet such people still? Mothers and grandmothers like Eunice and Lois, whom the Lord uses in the life and the lives of Timothy's. So Paul has written this about Timothy. Now, he will not send him right after verse 24. He will first finish his letter. He will first wait for the outcome, and he will wait for the verdict. But then the day comes that Timothy, who had been by his side, has to depart. What a companion Timothy has been to Paul in prison. Paul actually did not want to miss Timothy. And later on, at the end of his life, then he will write to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, Timothy. Then he missed the fellowship of Timothy. And he missed the love that he says, now do thy diligence to come soon to me. But now he seeks the good of the Philippians. The Philippians need a pastor. And then he'll have to give up Timothy. And what a parting that must have been. That Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, it's time for you to go now. Go to these dear Philippians. Minister to them. I'll miss you. The Lord go with you, Timothy. Oh, what love. Something of the love the Father has. The love whereby he says to his Son, go. Go to that world that lies in sin. Go to that guilty people and do them good and die for them. And that love that the Father and the Son display, Paul and Timothy display it, something of it too. And you see the image of the Son being stamped on Timothy. May it be stamped on you and me. Amen.